Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. We're going to take a look now at deception by evil spirits in modern times. I'm talking right now. In these last days, we're warned of a special onslaught of the deceiver. It will come mainly from false teachers. Now, today, there are two false doctrines which make it easy to discern most false teachers. Now, I know this is going to have a tendency to offend some people, but I'm duty-bound, as God gives me grace by the Spirit of truth, to tell you the truth. Now, let me tell you these two particular false doctrines which make it easy to discern most false teachers in these last days. They are a false teacher if they teach a pre-tribulation rapture, or if they teach once saved, always saved. Both of those are false doctrines, and if you come under the influence of a teacher who teaches either pre-tribulation rapture or once saved, always saved, you better run. You're under the influence of a false teacher. The whole of the true body of Messiah will be attacked by an army of deceiving spirits. Some will be specially attacked by the powers of darkness, and we all need light upon Lucifer's deceptive workings. We all want to pass through the trial of the last hour and be counted worthy to stand before the King of Glory. Among the body of Christ, there are degrees of growth. God will also allow degrees of testing. God will provide a way of escape for those who trust Him. Those who watch and pray will take heed lest they fall. This is so important. Don't ever think you stand. Don't ever think that you cannot be deceived. Even those ideas, the devil will use them to bring you down. Take heed when you think you stand. You're in trouble then. We must remain teachable. We must know that we can fall whenever we let our guard down. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. It's very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Hallelujah. God is sovereign. He is the sovereign Lord of the universe. Satan has limits set by God for every redeemed believer. You can check it in Job chapter 1 verse 12. You can see it in chapter 2 verse 6 of Job. You can see it in Luke 22:31. Satan cannot go any further than God allows him to go. Now, some of the members of the body of Messiah are still in a stage of babyhood. Others do not even know the initial reception of the Holy Spirit. And by now you must realize this information is not for babes. They need to get off the internet, turn off the radio and TV, close the books, and read the authorized King James Version Holy Bible. We need the scriptures. We need the more sure word of God. The babes and the warriors need that milk, that pure spiritual milk of the word every day. It is the bread of life. If you don't read the word every day, you are going to be overcome. I'll just say it flat out. But there are others who may be described as warriors or the advanced guard of the church of Messiah Yeshua. They have been baptized with the Holy Ghost, or they are seeking that baptism. They are honest and earnest believers who sigh and cry over the powerlessness of the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They grieve that her witness is so ineffective. They are angry that Spiritism and Christian Science and other isms and all sorts of metaphysics and even the out-and-out blatant occult are sweeping thousands in the so-called church into their deceptive errors. And many forget, as they themselves go forward into the spiritual realm, the deceiver who has misled others has special wiles prepared for them. If you are called to stand in this evil day, Lucifer plans to render you ineffective. He wants to make your aggressive power against him ineffective. These are the ones, these ones called to be the frontline warriors in this Antichrist war on the saints that Lucifer wants to take out of the battle somehow. And these are the ones who are in danger of the special deception of the counterfeit Christ and false prophets. They are dazzled by the lure of signs and wonders and the fire out of heaven. Satan planned to meet their longing for the mighty power of God. If you long to see God arise in the darkness and settling down upon this earth, you must recognize that such workings of the spirits of evil are also possible. Everything that is supernatural is not necessarily of God. We are commanded to test the spirits. You must prepare to meet these spirits. That is the purpose of War on the Saints. This whole book is about preparing those who will stand in this evil day out on the front lines. These are the ones who are recklessly ready to follow the Lord at any cost. And we must be prepared for this contest with the spiritual powers of the unseen world as we press on into fuller spiritual things. Believers who are full of mental conceptions wrought into them in earlier years can actually hinder the Spirit of God from preparing them for all that they will meet. False concepts also hinder others from giving them, out of the Scriptures, much that they need to know. The bottom line is this: what does the Word of God say? It doesn't make any difference what any man says. What does the more sure Word written in the King James Version Holy Bible have to say? Many people have got to unlearn a lot of things that they have picked up along their church experience. There are false concepts that can hinder and keep people from getting much that they need to know now. These people can end up going blind into this spiritual world. Conceptions which lull them into a false sense of security give ground and bring about deception. And this enables the deceiver to find them an easy prey. Can honest souls be deceived? Yes, absolutely yes. It is shocking how many believers deeply believe that honest seekers after God will not be allowed to be deceived. Wrong, big time wrong, brethren. This is one of Satan's great lies. It puts seekers into a false position of safety. It is proved by the history of the church during the past 2,000 years. Every wile of error which has borne sad fruit throughout this period first laid hold of devoted believers who were honest souls. The errors among groups of such believers all began among honest children of God baptized with the Holy Ghost. They were all so sure, knowing the sidetracking of others before them, that they would never be caught by the wiles of Satan. Yet they too have been deceived by lying spirits counterfeiting the workings of God in the higher ranges of the spiritual life. Lying spirits have taken advantage of their determination literally to obey the Scriptures. By misuse of the letter of the written word, they became unbalanced, and this resulted in erroneous practices. Many who have suffered for their adherence to these biblical commands firmly believe that they are martyrs suffering for Christ. The world calls these devoted ones cranks and fanatics, and yet they give evidence of the highest devotion and love to the Lord. They could be delivered if they understood why the powers of darkness deceived them. They need to know the way of freedom from the lying spirit's power. Many honest souls are easily swept off their feet by evil supernatural powers, and they are not able to discern these deceiving supernatural powers of evil from the true workings of God. Satan's a counterfeiter. Don't ever forget that. Everything that is supernatural is not of God. When something supernatural is going on, you need to be extra careful, brethren. Large numbers of earnest servants of God are swept into deception every day. They are taken by the wiles of deceiving spirits, counterfeiting the workings of God. They are all honest souls, deceived by this subtle foe, and certain to be led on into still deeper and deeper deception. Their honesty and earnestness did not protect them. They must be awakened to return to soberness and recovery out of the snare of the devil into which they have fallen. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy 2:26. 2 Timothy 2:25 and 26 says, "In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves." You need meekness when you try to instruct those who oppose themselves, because guess what? They don't know they're deceived. And when you try and tell them that they're deceived, guess what? They're going to come at you. Yeah, you're trying to help them, but they're going to come at you. And meekness is the ability to endure insult without retaliation. Now, when you try to help somebody who is deceived from being deceived and help them to get undeceived, you better have meekness, because they will attack you. They will insult you. They don't know they're deceived. So this is why the Word of God tells you, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. They don't know they're opposing themselves. That's the problem. That's why they are going to resist you. They will insult you, and you must not retaliate. Understand this, brethren. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Brethren, acknowledging the truth is the first step out of bondage in anything. And when you try to get someone who is ensnared by the devil, he does not know it, he does not want to acknowledge the truth, and when you try to bring him to the acknowledging of the truth, you better have meekness, because he's going to insult you. He's not going to like it. He's not going to receive it easily. And this is why the Word of God says you must do it in meekness. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If peradventure God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Wow. You know, it's just amazing what some people believe sometimes. Some people earnestly believe that just being faithful to the light is not going to allow anything to come against them. Some people think that when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're free from having demons in you, rather than the reality that you become a high priority target. The children of God need to know that to be true in motive and faithful to light of truth is not sufficient safeguard against deception. It is not safe for them to rely upon their honesty of purpose. Many a pure heart gets deceived. They're the targets of the enemy, brethren. It's not a guaranteed protection from the enemy's wiles. We must always take heed to the warnings of God's word and watching unto prayer. We never outgrow our need for the pure spiritual milk of his word, the bread of life. Christians who are true and faithful and honest can be deceived by Satan and his deceiving spirits. And here's some of the reasons. A man becomes a child of God by the regenerating power of the Spirit. He's given new life as he trusts in the atoning work of Christ. He does not at the same time receive fullness of knowledge, either of God, himself, or the devil. The mind, which by nature is darkened, according to Ephesians 4:18, and under a veil created by Satan, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, is only renewed. The veil is destroyed up to the extent that the light of truth penetrates it. We do not comprehend everything. We all know in part. We all prophesy in part. No one can have full knowledge this side of glory. Deception has to do with the mind. It means a wrong thought admitted to the mind under the deception that it is truth. Deception is based on ignorance and not on moral character. Let me say it again. Deception is based on ignorance and not on moral character. A Christian who is true and faithful up to the knowledge he has is still open to deception. He will be deceived where he is ignorant of the devices of the devil. Look at 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Brethren, as much as you are ignorant of Satan's devices, he has an advantage over you, a tremendous advantage over you. And what he is able to do because of your ignorance. Brethren, there are people who think it is even spiritual to be ignorant. And boy, is that ignorant. That's ignorance gone to seed. A true and faithful Christian is liable to be deceived. He is a high priority target for deception by the devil because of his ignorance. We hate the truth that we're ignorant. We don't like that truth, do we? Guess what, brethren? We're all ignorant of more things than what we are knowledgeable about. But when it comes to the Word of God, we should have no excuse for ignorance. This is one thing that we should never tolerate, ignorance regarding the Word of God. If an elder knows things in depth about the Word of God, don't get puffed up with spiritual pride and walk around in your ignorance. It will cost you. I know we don't like this truth that we are ignorant, but if we deny that truth that we're ignorant, we really have ignorance gone to seed. All of us are ignorant of more things than what we're knowledgeable about. We all know in part. We all prophesy in part. We're not going to know it all this side of glory. We have to remain teachable. We have to remain open to that possibility that at any time we can be deceived. That in itself, that we hate the truth that we're ignorant, that in itself gives ground to the devil. The thought that God will protect a believer from being deceived if he is true and faithful is in itself, brethren, a great deception. It will surely throw a man off guard. It ignores the fact that there are conditions on the part of the believer which have to be fulfilled for God's working. God does not do anything instead of a man. Let me say it again. God does not do anything instead of a man. God does things by the man's cooperation with him. I'm going to say it again. This is so important. God does not do anything instead of a man. God does things by man's cooperation with him. God does not make up for man's ignorance when he has provided knowledge for him which will prevent him from being deceived. Christ would not have warned his disciples to take heed, be not deceived, if there had been no danger of deception. In the Olivet Discourse alone, Jesus tells his disciples and us 14 times, just in that one Olivet Discord, 14 times he tells us, take heed, pay attention. God expects us to get knowledge of danger and take heed. The knowledge that is possible to be deceived keeps the mind open to truth and light from God. Knowing we can be deceived is one of the primary conditions for keeping the keeping power of God. A closed mind, brethren, if you become unteachable, you're just about not worth shooting. I got to tell you this. A closed mind to light and truth is a certain guarantee of deception by Satan at his earliest opportunity. Now let's talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. As we look at the rise of various heresies or delusions in the church history, we see that most start with some great spiritual crisis. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a crisis in which the man is brought to give himself up in full abandonment to the Holy Spirit. And few realize that doing this opens one to the supernatural powers of the invisible world. The reason for the peril of this crisis is that up to this time, the believer used his reasoning faculties in judging right and wrong. He obeyed what he believed to be the will of God from principle. But now, in his abandonment to the Holy Spirit, he begins to obey an unseen person. He begins to submit his faculties and reasoning powers in blind obedience to that which he believes is of God. What the baptism of the Spirit means will be dealt with a little bit later on. But for right now, at this point, it's only necessary to say that it is a crisis in the life of a Christian. None but those who have gone through it in experience can fully understand. It means that the Spirit of God becomes so real to the man that his supreme object in life becomes implicit obedience to the Holy Ghost. And this will is surrendered to carry out the will of God at all costs. The whole being is made subject to the powers of the unseen world. The believer almost always aiming that he shall only be moving in the power of God. And it's amazing how few take into account that there are other powers in the spiritual realm. Brethren, everything that isn't supernatural is not of God. This absolute surrender of the whole being to invisible forces is dangerous. You must know how to discern between the contrary powers of God and Satan. This absolute surrender is the most dangerous risk to the inexperienced believer. Is it scriptural to surrender, to obey to the Spirit? This is very serious, brethren. This is very serious. We are indeed to submit to God. At the same time, we must resist the devil. You don't do one and not the other. We are indeed to submit to God, and at the same time, we must resist the devil. It is amazing how few seem to know Satan's whole game is counterfeiting God. I'm going to say it again because it really is amazing how few really seem to know this, that Satan's whole game is counterfeiting God. It is a crying shame the way in which so many wholehearted believers have been misled. It is strange that an attitude which is scriptural should be so grievously the cause of danger. It often brings complete wreckage to many devoted children of God. Is the phrase obeying the Spirit scriptural? You know, sometimes we get into things, little differences can make a big difference. Is the phrase obeying the Spirit scriptural? Is that a scriptural phrase? The Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him, is the principal phrase given rise to the expression obey the Spirit. It was used by Peter before the council at Jerusalem. But nowhere else in scriptures is the same thought ever given. The whole passage needs careful reading to reach a clear conclusion. We must obey God. Let's take a look at that in Acts 5:29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." We ought to obey God rather than men. Peter said to the Sanhedrin, "For we are witnesses, and so is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." Does the apostle mean obey the Spirit or obey God, according to the first words of this passage? I'm telling you, brethren, this distinction is important. The setting of the words can only be rightly understood by the teaching of other parts of Scripture. Where's God? God in heaven is to be obeyed through the power of the indwelling Spirit of God. Brethren, I hope you don't miss this. Where's God? God is in heaven. And God in heaven is to be obeyed through the power of the indwelling Spirit of God. If you place the Holy Ghost as the object of obedience rather than God the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit, you are in danger. You will be deceived. I'm going to say it again. God is in heaven, And God in heaven is to be obeyed through the power of the indwelling Spirit of God. If you place the Holy Ghost as the object of obedience rather than God the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit, you are in danger and you will be deceived. And this is what creates the danger of leading the believer to rely upon or obey the Spirit in or around him. This is the danger. We don't obey a spirit in or around us. I'm going to say it again, brethren. This is the danger. We don't obey a spirit in or around us. We obey God on the throne in heaven. The child of God is united to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the way or the empowerment or the means through whom God is worshipped and obeyed. Now let's look at this true work of the Holy Spirit in the believer. The baptism of the Spirit brings the Holy Spirit as a person into the believer's consciousness. And this is such a powerful experience that for a short time the other persons of the Trinity in heaven may be dimmed. The Holy Spirit becomes the center and object of thought and worship and is given a place which He Himself does not desire. It is not the purpose of the Father in heaven that he should have or occupy such a position in the life of the believer. He shall not speak for himself. He shall not speak from himself. John 16:13. Check it out. The Holy Spirit should act as the teacher. John 14:26. He is teaching the words of another, not his own. He should bear witness to another, not himself. Look at John 15:26. He bears witness of Jesus. He glorifies the Son, who gives glory to the Father. Don't get this out of order. If you do, you will be deceived. That is a given in these days of strong delusion and deception. The Holy Spirit should glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit glorifies another, not himself. Look at John 16:14. He should only speak what was given to speak by another. He only speaks what the Lord Jesus Christ would have him to speak. He only speaks the Word. This is how you know, man, you don't ever listen to a spirit that contradicts the Word of God. Look at John 16:13. His entire work, the entire work of the Holy Spirit should be to lead the soul into a union with the Son and knowledge of the Father in heaven. The Holy Spirit directs and works in the background. At the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there is an opening of the spiritual world which takes place through the filling of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit, which now occupies the attention of the believer, is just the opportunity for this arch-deceiver. Remember, Satan's whole game plan is counterfeiting. He's a great counterfeiter. The devil starts perhaps his most dangerous new strategy. If the man is untaught in the scriptural statements of the work of the triune God, this is what is so dangerous, brethren, about this oneness doctrine. It keeps people all confused. They don't always keep foremost in their mind that God, the Father, is on His throne in heaven, Yeshua is seated at His right hand, and we are connected to that position with Him in the third heaven by the Holy Spirit. And when people reject the doctrine of the Trinity, it opens them up for all kinds of spiritual deception. The devil, at this baptism of the Holy Ghost, starts perhaps his most dangerous new strategy. If the man is untaught in the scriptural statements of the work of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and if he's taught to obey the Spirit, he is now, this becomes his supreme purpose. To obey the Spirit. Well, counterfeiting the guidance of the Spirit is now the devil's game, and he's good at it. The devil knows he is on the defensive with the Holy Spirit-filled believer. The devil knows he must somehow regain power over this servant of God. This child of God is now walking in the power of God, and that is a major threat to the entire demonic host of hell. The devil must somehow deceive him to render him useless for aggressive warfare against the forces of darkness. The devil must drive him back into the world. The deceiving spirits must some way sidetrack him from the active service for God. Now, let's look at the peril of this time of the baptism of the Spirit. Ignorance of the believer about the spiritual world now opened up to him, and the workings of evil powers in that realm, and ignorance of the conditions upon which God works in and through him, give the enemy his opportunity. And it is the time of greatest peril for every believer unless he is instructed and prepared as the disciples were for 3 whole years by the Lord. The Lord prepared those disciples for 3 whole years before they received the Holy Ghost. Now, God is doing a quick work in these last days. But the danger lies along this line of supernatural guidance. The danger comes through not knowing the condition of cooperation with the Holy Spirit. The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. The Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. The Holy Spirit will never force anybody to do anything that they're not in perfect agreement with their will to do. And this is where the danger comes in, through not knowing the condition of cooperation with the Holy Spirit. The danger is not knowing from the Word of God how to discern the will of God. Brethren, we've got to know from the Word of God how to discern the will of God. The danger comes from not knowing the Word of God, how to test and how to discern the spirits. And this gives the counterfeit manifestations their ability to work as false angels of light. They are thus able to bring about counterfeit gifts of prophecy, counterfeit tongues, counterfeit healings, counterfeit casting out of other demonic entities. They are able to bring out all kinds of counterfeit spiritual experiences connected with the work of the Holy Ghost. And very few believers can guarantee that they are obeying God and God only in direct supernatural guidance. There are so many factors liable to intervene, such as the believer's own mind, his own spirit, his own will, and the deceptive intrusion of the powers of darkness. And since evil spirits can counterfeit God as Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, the believer needs also to know very clearly the principles upon which God works, and then he can detect between the divine and the satanic workings. There is a discernment which is a spiritual gift, enabling the believer to discern spirits, but also this requires knowledge of doctrine. Let's look at 1 John 4:1. Now, brethren, I hope you recognize this is a command of the Lord. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We have to discern between doctrine which is of God and doctrines or teachings or teaching of spirits. There is a detecting by the gift of discerning of spirits which spirit is at work. And there's also a test of the spirits which is doctrinal. The discerning of spirits gift allows a believer to tell by spirit of discernment that a lying spirit is at work in a meeting or in a person. He may not have the understanding needed for testing of the doctrine set forth by a teacher, but he needs knowledge in both cases. He needs knowledge to read his spirit with assurance in the face of all contrary appearances that the supernatural workings are positively of God. He's got to test those spirits as a command of the Word of God. He needs knowledge to detect the subtlety of teachings bearing certain infallible indications that they are emanating from the pit while appearing to be from God. In personal obedience to God, the believer can detect whether he is obeying God in some command by judging its fruits and by knowledge of the character of God. God always has a purpose in his commands. God will give no command out of harmony with his character and the Word. Now, why the baptism of the Spirit is a special time of danger? It is because that after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the believer is so specially opening to the deceiving spirit's workings. The enemy must have ground to work upon. And with the Holy Spirit so manifestly in possession, how can ground be possible? How can the believer be open to the deceiver's approach? Possibly because in preceding years, through yielding to sin, An evil spirit may have obtained access to the body or mind. It could be hiding deeply in the structure of the man, never having been detected or dislodged. The manifestation of this evil spirit possibly being so apparently natural or so identified with the person's character as to have had unnoticed control in his being. And possibly it could be of some peculiar idea in the mind being considered as part of the man's habit of body, considered to be a part of the upbringing of the man. It was put up with by others and looked upon by the believer as a lawful thing or of trivial importance, or else this evil spirit had ground through some secret sin known only to the person. Possibly some evil desire gave ground. Passivity is a big one, and it can be an obsession. In the baptism of the Spirit, sin will of necessity have been dealt with. The works of the devil may have been dealt with, but the peculiar evil desire is left undetected. The baptism of the Spirit takes place. The Holy Spirit fills the spirit of the man. The body and mind are surrendered to God, but hidden secretly in one or both is the evil spirit or spirits which obtained lodgment years before. These evil spirits can now break forth into activity and hide their manifestations under the cover of the true workings of the Spirit of God. The result of this is that for a time the heart is filled with love. The spirit is full of light and joy. But before long, a fanatical spirit may be detected creeping in, or a subtle spirit of pride, or of self-importance, or of self-aggrandizement. These can come in right along with the other pure fruits of the Spirit, which are undeniably of God. The fact to emphasize now is that honest and earnest believers can be deceived and even possessed by deceiving spirits. For a period, they go out of the main line into deception. They can be left deceived to the end unless light for their deliverance reaches them. We need to examine various theories. Brethren, the work of deceiving spirits and their methods of deception make it clear that close examination is needed of these many new doctrines, these 20th century theories. We have some bad conceptions and expressions concerning things in connection with God. Only the truth of God, apart from views of truth. We don't want somebody's opinion or somebody's idea of the truth. We need the actual truth from the more sure word which is written in the King James Version Holy Bible. And that's the only thing that's going to give protection. Truth, absolute pure truth from the authorized word of God is what we must have in this warfare. We must have God's truth in this conflict with the wicked spirits in these heavenly realms. Now, if it comes from the mind of the natural man, it will prove to be but weapons of straw in this great battle. If we rely upon others' views of the truth, or what some preacher so-and-so said, without verifying it by the more sure word, if we're relying upon our own human conceptions of truth, Satan will use these for the very things with which he will deceive us. Lucifer may even build us up in these theories and views, so that under cover of them, he may accomplish his purpose. We cannot overestimate the importance of believers having open minds. You better stay teachable. The time you become unteachable, brethren, you will be taken down. You must remain teachable. It is time that we examine all things. We must prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. We have thought and we have taught, and in connection with the things of God and the spiritual realm, we must now examine all things, all the truths that we have held, all the phrases and expressions that we've used in holiness teachings, all of these teachings that we have absorbed through others. For any wrong interpretation of truth, any theories and phrases which are man-conceived and which we may build upon wrongly, will have dangerous consequences in these last days, brethren. In the latter times, evil spirits will come to us with deceptions in doctrinal form. Believers must examine carefully what we accept as doctrine. We must be sure it is not from emissaries of the deceiver. The spiritual believer is exhorted and commanded to judge all things. The duty of this examination of spiritual things is strongly urged by the Apostle Paul again and again. He that is spiritual judges, examines, investigates, and decides all things. The spiritual man judges all things. The spiritual believer is to use his judgment, which is a renewed faculty, if he is a spiritual man. This spiritual examination or judging in connection with the things of the Spirit of God is an absolute essential command of God. God Himself honors the intelligent personality of the man. I'm going to say this again. God Himself honors the intelligent personality of the man. He recreates in Christ. You see, He invites this judging and examining. Satan is the one that don't want you judging and examining. God invites the judging and examining because God is truth. Satan is a deceiver. So never forget this, brethren. God invites the judging and examining of His own workings by His Spirit. Even the things of the Spirit are not to be received of Him without being examined. God welcomes that examination. God welcomes that testing. God welcomes that verification of the truth. It is the devil that doesn't welcome it. These things are spiritually discerned as of God. They must be tested until we can verify. If someone tries to tell you that something is supernatural and some abnormal manifestations of the present time are not to be judged and discerned and tested, if anybody tells you that, brethren, watch out. I'm going to tell you, watch out. If anybody ever tells you that something is not to be judged and discerned and tested, and if it's supernatural, if they tell you that, you better run. It is always in the will of God for believers to understand or explain all the workings of God. Otherwise, it is out of accord with the apostle's statement that the spiritual man judges all things. What does all mean? The spiritual man, he that is spiritual, judges all things. If it's spiritual, it has to be judged. All things especially means supernatural things. We must reject all things which our spiritual judgment is unable to accept. We must reject them until such time as we are able to discern with clearness and certainty that these things are of God. And not only is the believer to discern or judge the things of the Spirit, that means all things in the spiritual realm, but he is also to judge himself. For if he would judge himself, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. The Greek word means through investigation, a thorough investigation. We should not need the dealing of the Lord to bring to light the things in ourselves which we have failed to discern by judging ourselves. 1 Corinthians 11:31. Brethren, be not children in mind, howbeit in malice be ye babes, but in mind be men. In the Greek, it's be of full age, of mature age. 1 Corinthians 14:20. He explained to them the way of the working of the Spirit among them. The believer is in mind to be of full age, that is, to be able to examine, to bring to the proof. That's what the Greek word means, to prove, to demonstrate, to examine, to test. That's what 2 Timothy 4:2 is all about. Prove all things. It's a command of the Lord. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. It's a command of the Lord that we prove all things. All things. What does all mean? That means everything. We test, especially if it is at all supernatural. We prove all things and we hold fast to that which is good. The spiritual man is to abound in knowledge and in all discernment. All discernment. That means we check it. Everything. So as to prove the things that are excellent, that he may be sincere and void of offense until the day of Christ. Philippians 1:10. Now let's look at some of these expressions, some of these views, some of these doctrines that need to be examined. The Word of God tells us that these are perilous times. In these days of strong delusion, every expression every view, every theory which we hold concerning supernatural things should now be examined and re-examined carefully. We must bring it to the proof with open and honest desire to know the pure truth of God. Every statement that comes to our knowledge of the experience of others which may throw light upon our own pathway should be checked. Every criticism, whether it's just or unjust criticism, should be humbly received and examined to discover its ground, apparent or real. Facts concerning spiritual truths from every section of the body of Messiah should be analyzed, whether we like it or not. Even if it is painful to us personally, we must test it for our equipment in the service of God. For knowledge of truth is the first essential for warfare with the lying spirits of Satan. Truth must be eagerly sought for and faced with earnest and sincere desire to know it and to obey it in the light of God. Truth concerning ourselves, discerning by unbiased judgment. Oh, that is the one that is specially important. Truth concerning ourselves, discerned by unbiased judgment. We need the truth from the Scriptures, uncolored, unstained, unmutilated, undiluted. We need truth in facing facts of experience in all members of the body of Messiah, and not just one section alone. Now, let's take a look at the place of truth in deliverance. There's a fundamental principle, most foundational fundamental principle involved in the freeing power of truth from the deceptions of the devil. Deliverance from believing lies must be by believing truth. Nothing can remove a lie but truth. Nothing can lift a deception but the truth. It doesn't make any difference what the bondage is. There is one and only one first step of deliverance. We must acknowledge the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. And if the Son, who is the truth personified, will set you free, you'll be free indeed. But the first step of deliverance from any bondage, the first step always is to know the truth, acknowledge the truth. And this is applicable to every aspect of truth, as well as the special truth referred to by the Lord when He spoke those profound words. In the very first stage of the Christian life, the sinner must know the truth of the gospel if he is to be saved. Christ is the Savior, but He saves through and not apart from the instrument or means. If the believer needs freedom, he must ask the Son of God for it. How does the Son set free? By the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. We may say freedom is the gift of the Son by the Holy Spirit working through truth. That's true. That's a good way to say it. We can say that freedom is a gift of the Son by the Holy Spirit working through truth. There are three stages of apprehending truth. Hallelujah. Now let's look at them. There are literally three stages of apprehending truth. There is the perception of truth by the understanding. There is perception of truth for use and personal application. And there's perception of truth for teaching and passing on to others. Truth apparently not grasped may lie in the mind, and in the hour of need suddenly emerge into experience. And then by experience, it becomes clear to the mind in which it has been lying dormant. It is only by continual application and assimilation of truth in experience that it becomes clarified in the mind in order to be able to teach others. The great need of all believers is that they should eagerly seek truth for their progressive liberation from all of Satan's lies. For knowledge and truth alone can give victory over Satan as a deceiver and a liar. That's what the essence of the devil is, a deceiver and a liar. And so it is this knowledge and truth alone that can give victory over Satan, who is a deceiver and a liar. If the hearers of truth should resist it or rebel against truth, truth can well be left to the care of the Holy Spirit of truth. Even in the case of resistance to truth, it has at least reached the mind, and at any time may emerge into experience. There are three attitudes of the mind in regard to knowledge. First, there is assumption of knowing a certain thing. Second, there is neutrality toward it. That is, I don't really know. And finally, there is certainty of real knowledge. And this is illustrated in the life of Christ. Some said of him, he's a false prophet, with an assumption of knowledge. Others said, we do not know, taking a position of neutrality until they did know. But Peter said, we know, and he had true knowledge. There is safety, brethren, in this neutral attitude to all supernatural manifestations. When believers first hear of the possibility of counterfeits of God and divine things, they almost invariably ask, how are we to know which is which? It is enough, first of all, for them to know that such counterfeits are possible. Then, as they mature or seek light from God, they learn to know for themselves. No human being can explain it to them. But they cry, we don't know. How can we know? They should remain neutral to all supernatural workings until they do know. There is among many a wrong anxiety to know, as if knowledge alone would save them. They think that they must be either for or against certain things, which they cannot decide, are either from God or from the devil. They want to know infallibly which is which, that which they may declare their position. Believers can take the attitude for or against without knowing whether the things they are in doubt about are of divine or satanic origin. And this is very dangerous, brethren. It is wise, brethren, I'm going to say it again, it is wise to maintain the safety of the neutral position. Stay neutral till you know. Stay neutral till you know. When it regards spiritual things, stay neutral till you know. In God's time, you will know. Stay open and neutral until, by means which cannot be fully described, you know what you have wanted to understand. One effect of over-eagerness in desiring knowledge is a feverish anxiety and a restless impatience, worry, and trouble, which causes a loss of moral balance and power. It is important in seeking one blessing not to destroy another. In seeking knowledge of spiritual things, be patient. God knows your need. Trust God to meet your need when He knows you need it. We need calm, quiet, restfulness, and faith. We need to be patient and watch ourselves. We don't want the enemy to gain advantage and rob us of moral power while we're crying to get light and truth upon the way to victory over him. Hallelujah.